Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Happy Friday to all of you. Let's do this. Week 24 of 50. Imperfect 2. The session plus scoreboard check. Last week of sessions was titled Imperfect, and that was a shout out to the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James, who many people hate because he's imperfect. He has character flaws. He pouts on the basketball court sometimes. That was week 23, imperfect was, because LeBron has worn number 23 on his jersey for most of his career, though he's switching back to number 6 next year, which is both kind of cool and kind of interesting, in my opinion. This week of sessions is week 24, and it's titled Imperfect 2, because Kobe Bryant, not the greatest basketball player of all time, but a great one for sure, and an iconic figure in our lifetimes, he was, well, imperfect too. He was, and he wore number 24 for most of his career. You probably don't remember, but Kobe also pouted on the court sometimes. He refused to shoot the basketball for the entire second half of a playoff game against the Suns in one of the most epic pout jobs of all time, if I recall correctly. And he definitely got into some weird shit in Utah with that girl. I'm not educated on the situation enough to speak on it beyond stating that it was, for sure, imperfect. And I know a lot of people I come across, online and in real life, think they are perfect, or they think their heroes are. Because otherwise, how could they justify judging others for being imperfect, hating them for it in many cases? Makes no sense to me, to be honest. I know I'm imperfect as fuck. I know LeBron is, I know Kobe was, and hopefully without ruffling any feathers too bad, I truly believe that everyone I've ever come across in my 47 years of life thus far is imperfect too, even if some of them have zero insight into it, because they aren't introspective enough. They lack humility. They are consumed by pride or guilt, too toxic as fuck emotions in my opinion. Or they just don't have the balls to look in the mirror and embrace both the good and the bad in the dude or chick looking back at them. Having said all that, it's a little after 11 p.m. on Saturday, June 12th, 2021. I've had a long day, like always, a busy one, like always, and no way am I going to play my best poker. Luckily, I'm at Ocean's 11, where I can win even on nights I'm burned out, as long as I don't run too bad, that is. Alright, so the first note is a bad luck dealer in the box, I'll come behind. So, dealers aren't lucky or unlucky, but it can seem like that because live poker is so slow, and this one kind of has a dark energy, that's real. And either way, I'm coming in behind, but I just wrote bad luck dealer in the box, I'll come in behind. And the first hand I witness while I'm waiting to be dealt in is an amazing one. The gentleman on my right has pocket nines on 9-5-4 all spades, and he had raised preflop, and he bets the flop, and someone he's friendly with calls, right? 9-5-4 all spades, he has pocket nines. And he's being nice, and the turn is a deuce, an offsuit deuce. And he says, I'm not milking you. And he bets, or he says, I'm not bluffing you or milking you. And he bets a lot. And the guy calls, 9-5-4 all spades, turn offsuit deuce. And the river is another deuce. And it does not complete the flush. And now he bets again. And then the guy goes all in. So he has top boat. He flopped top set and made top boat, and the guy who he's friendly with called him on the flop with pocket deuces, with the deuce of spades. So he was in a lot of trouble on the flop, and he made runner-runner quads against Top Set, and I told you this dealer is unlucky. So, I don't know. But coming in behind is something I didn't do, and I probably won't do once I get back to higher stakes again. It just depends. At these stakes, it's fine, right? And it's correct, and I need to get settled. But it really sets a tone if you're in a good game to just come in right away, like that you're not a grinder. And I don't know. I just never did it, and I've started doing it, and it feels wrong, but it's right for me at this stage of my comeback in these games. Okay. I play a hand, which is what you guys tuned in for. You didn't tune in to hear about LeBron and Kobe, did you? Sorry, I'm not being perfect today. Well, I open ace-queen offsuit to $15. The game is just 2-5 right now because I just sat down and you can't kick up the game until you've, spewed a little bit. And then you can say, all right, everyone needs a straddle. So just 2-5 open to 15. And this young black dude wearing a Nirvana shirt and an equality hat. His hat says equality on it. Defends. And this guy seems to have good energy. And I like the hat. I like equality. I'm all about that shit. But he's my enemy because he's trying to win money. I can tell. So I have ace queen and he defends. It comes X, X, X. He checks. I check. Turn is an X. He checks. I check. It's pretty connected X's. And I have just, ace queen. And the river's an ace. And he checks again. And I bet $10 into 30. And he check raises to 40. And I call. And he has ace, eight offsuit, which is aces up. And I say, I should have folded, man. And I should have. I check raise in live poker. My hand is what it looks like. And so it would be a good spot for someone to bluff if they think I'm not calling. It's a good leveling spot, but he's not leveling, right? He just has aces up and just slow played it to death. And I don't know. It's just, I should have folded. And I'm tilted already because I've had a crazy long day. Lots of driving and so on and parenting and other shit going on. And also the variance truth or the part of me that's obsessed with variance loves having ace queen in position against ace eight and making top pair and losing. So hardly lost any money on that hand, but I'm tilted. Yeah. So I straddle. When it's my turn to straddle. And I fold from, that was the cutoff, and then I fold until it's my straddle, and I straddle. And I have 10-9 of clubs. It's a nice hand. And this is that gentleman's button. He's wearing, I'll just call him Nirvana. He's wearing a Nirvana shirt and a hat that says equality, which is a good message, I believe. Anyways, he opens for $50 on the button. So it's 2-5-10. He opens for $50. And I just now can profile him as he's trying to win, but he hasn't, he's newer to poker, hasn't studied a bunch. And this $50 is purposeful. It's because he has a hand that is good but vulnerable, right? And so the hand that comes to mind is pocket jacks. And it folds to me, and I call 40 more. He's got plenty of chips, and I got some too. And the flop comes king 6-4 with two clubs. I flop a flush draw. I check. He bets $60. And I still think he has almost exactly pocket jacks. So what to do? I'm going to raise small here. And then I'm going to bet the turn. And I should win. Unless I make a flush. Then I'm going to massage the turn. I'll bet tiny or check. Just, whatever. But I don't ever count on hitting my draws. So he bets 60. I go to 160. I have 10-9 of clubs on king 6-4, two clubs. And he calls very quickly. I expect this. The turn is a 6. Pairs the middle card. I bet 240 and he snap folds. Okay. So I had this hand from his sizing and his motion preflop. I just knew what his hand was. And yeah, he's going to call when I check raise king 6-4 two-tone. But he's going to fold on the turn a shit ton, and he did. And that's nice. It's nice to win when the other guy has you crushed. And then I open jack 9 to 15. So the straddle's not on, even though I straddled. And he defends again. So this must be about when I'm the cutoff. When I'm the cutoff. And it comes queen 3-3. I have jack 9. He checks. I bet 20. It's going to be really hard to win this pot if you're him, right? Because he seems new to poker. He plays at Ocean's 11. People don't put you to the test. They don't. I do. But in general, they don't. And so anytime you face massive aggression, you're going to fold everything but a monster. And I'm just going to put him to the test, right? I didn't show my bluff earlier. Okay. And he folds. I win. Good. And now I open. Now we got a straddle on, right? So that's how it is. You slowly get the straddle on. I'm doing it. Someone else sees it. They do it. They reciprocate your efforts. And then eventually everyone does it. And the game's much more fun and much more complex. And it's like poker. And anyways, I open king 9 of clubs. And I get 3 calls. And the first person to call me is the triathlete pro. And he's one of the bigger winners in that place. And anyways, the flop comes pretty good for my hand. 9-8-7 with a club. Top pair, second best kicker, and backdoor flush draw. And I bet 40 into 120. So I opened to 30. 3 people called. I bet 40 into 120. It's a third of the pot. And all 3 of these people call. Okay. It's interesting. It's very Ocean's 11-like. So they're all open-ended or gut-shotting. So anyways, the turn is an ace, and I check, and everyone checks. What the fuck's going on here, right? So someone could have like ace 6 or ace 10 on that flop. I'm just not betting the ace on the turn. The river's an ace, and so I didn't think anyone had an ace, and so I bet. I've been stealing pots and not showing, but I know my image now at this point. I've already been aggressive enough that I can go for value here with king 9 on 9-8-7 ace-ace. And I bet 160 to make it look bluffy. All these people that play here have money. I want someone to look me up. And the triathlete pro does, and he has pocket 10s. So just kind of a weird little standard cooler that you expect against someone who's run very hot against you and against others in your table time. So it's kind of a little cooler and whatever. I'm losing. And then a whale type, and that's just someone who looks like a whale. Like they have lots of money and they're there, you know, to blow off some steam. And that's not a diss at all. That's the goal. You want to be a whale, right? And this guy goes to 20. He opens, so the straddle's off this hand. He opens to 20, and 2 people call. And I call with 7-6 offsuit on the button. I don't know, because I'm going to play pretty well post-flop. And the flop comes jack-jack-4. And it's 2-tone. And he leads 35. He fires 35 into 80. And this could be an overpair. It could be ace high. It could be king queen. It's not going to be a jack. Just he immediately fired. So he's capped. He's capped, at a hand that I don't think he's going to stack off with. Because, again, he hasn't played with me enough, and he usually plays at Ocean's 11 probably, and people just... Well, anyways, it's jack-jack-4. He bets 35. The other 2 players fold. I call immediately with 7-6, of course. And the turn's a good card. Gives me a gut shot. I mean, and it's an offsuit 3, and he checks, and I bet 225. And I just instantly do it, and he can't call with any of his range, and he shakes his head and folds. And, yeah, I'm a joke. I get why people shake their heads, but... I always win, not always, but I win so often with the worst hand. And that's the reason I fell in love with this dumb game called Texas Hold'em No Limit. It's just, there's so much freedom. Regular poker is all it is patience and then being like a tactician. A tactician? I don't know. Being fundamentally good, right? Well, No Limit Hold'em is just different. It's all psychological. It's, look, I'm just going to, I'm going to go for it, right? In spots where I know you can't call. And if I think you can call, I'm only going to go for it with good hands or, huge draws or whatever. And I don't know. That's why I still play this game. And that's what people say, why don't you play PLO? Okay, well, it's fun. I agree. It's more fun, right? But you can't do this shit. You can't just float and just say like, well, I got a read on your flop bet that you either you're maxed out at an overpair, and even if you have one, you're not calling an overbet on the turn, and you know you can't do that PLO. I don't know. It's time for my worst play though, and this one is a bad one. This may be my worst one in a very long time. Let me take a sip of Zevia, and yeah, I got to tell you about it because you know what? I am imperfect also. I open 9-6 of hearts. Okay, that's strike one. Don't need to be opening that hand in this game. It's kind of a, in the community, DGAF community, and especially in the DGAF home games, it's a nostalgic hand, and so you just do it for the fun of it or like the joke of it. Or, why am I doing it here? I don't know. Stupid, but I did. Mistake number one. Strike one. Okay, and now the whale type, who for sure is going to be more primed to battle, right? Because he knows that he couldn't call with any of his range, on the other hand, probably at least subconsciously. Well, he goes to 120, and he's light. I just know he's light, right? And it folds back around to me. And sure, I could just fold right now and, you know, not compound my error. But he's so light, and we're deep, that, no, I'm going to battle. I'm going to, you know, use my reads and whatnot. I call 120 out of position, 9-6 of hearts. So it's okay to err on the side of, no, fuck you, I'm not, I'll battle with you. Let's go. I know you're light, so my hand sucks, let's go. But yeah, I guess folding's better. So that's two strikes, okay? And the flop comes amazing. It comes King, Jack, X, all hearts. I flop the flush. Holy shit. I check, and to my disappointment, he checks back. Okay, well, let the turn be a non-heart, and let me check again and check raise him. The turn's a heart, so my amazing hand just became nothing. A bluff catcher, really. And I check, and he checks. And then the river is a heart, so there are five hearts, and I bet $200, and that's just... that's just horrible. It's just, I need to bet small here. It's just, there's five hearts, and yeah, I don't play the board, but I want him to call playing the board, but not for 200, he's not going to. So I butchered this hand. I wrote aneurysm sizing. Why did I bet 200? Because I had an aneurysm, right? Like, I'm only getting called by better, and I'm not folding out... I'm only getting called by better, and I'm not folding out any better. So it's just the worst bet I've made in probably a few years. 200, I just spazzed. I had an aneurysm. It's not my fault. But yeah, it's just horrible. Opening the hand, 9-6, bad. Defending, not super bad, but bad. And then betting 200 here is just so horrible. I should bet something that's going to piss him off, right? Like, I should bet like, he doesn't have the nuts, or he would have bet the turn or thought about betting the turn or the flop, but he certainly has plenty of hands that beat me, right? And so against those, I should bet a small amount, and then if he beats me, he beats me, and if he looks me up light, he's going to be pissed, and the game will be great, and he might raise me, but I bet 200, just the worst. It's aneurysm sizing, and he folded, and I knew that was bad, but it happens. I mean, to me, I don't play perfectly. So then I whiff and a bloater, and I deserved it for playing the last hand so poorly. And then there's a nice guy in our game, and he's wearing a JL golfing gear. I asked him about it. I didn't know. You know, I'm in the clothing game myself with poker rags, PR. So this is JL, and I asked him about it. It's a golfing brand, and he just won a huge pot where he flopped a flush against someone else who flopped a smaller flush. And anyways, he's got a lot of chips, and he limps in a straddled pot, and I pop it to 50. I have Jack 9 of diamonds. He just won. He's going to be more risk adverse than ever, right? So you just win a huge pot. You're not going to be battling. And so I'm going to take my... he's also not going to fold pre, so I'm just going to build this pot And yeah, I go to 50. I would normally go to 40. I went to 50. Okay. Jack nine of diamonds. He calls. And it comes 9-8-6. Also, my hand's pretty good. 9-8-6. I'm in position with Jack nine of diamonds. He checks. I bet 60. He calls. Okay. I have the best hand, almost certainly. And the turn's an offsuit queen. He checks. I bet 160. And I would bet more if I didn't have anything, right? But I have the best hand, I'm pretty sure. 160. It's easy for someone who's rich and just won a huge pot to call after calling 60. But, like, if I had nothing, I could just make it, like, 490, right? So that's the difference. And he calls, and then the river's a bad card. It's a 7. So 9-8-6, queen, 7. He checks. I check back. He had 10-9. So I had him crushed, and he binked a gutter. And then I wrote, go to the fucking bar. And that's what I did. I went to the fucking bar, and you just go upstairs, and there's usually, well, it used to be a kind of a fun bar. They used to have Latin night for you old school listeners. You remember that. Now, because there's no eating downstairs, if you want to eat, they feed you in the bar. So it's kind of like a restaurant, but they have alcohol, and that's what I needed. And I took a 30-minute break. You don't get that long, I don't think, but sometimes the floor man, if they know it's me, they're just going to be like, I'm not bothering that guy. Well, I've been there a lot for many, many years. Or maybe there was no list. I don't know. But come back 30 minutes later after a drink and I do one of my favorite dumb jokes. And, you know, I get the missed blind button and I throw it to the dealer. And I say, I don't think I missed a blind. And, you know, whoever's tilting that there's been a that I've been away from my seat will tilt. And it's just great. I love that shit. I just do. And then I must have had a cocktail, not a beer, while I was up there. Because the next note is miss 1,000 outs. That's an exaggeration. And the next note is steal Nirvana. So that just means that gentleman with the Nirvana shirt and the equality hat had the best hand. And I stole it from him. I stole the pot from him, which is fine. And then I look across the room and I see a character by the name of Greek Steve, and he's playing 2-3 no limit. And I've talked about other people that I've played with at Commerce with pink chips, and those are 5K chips, and they'll have, like, you know, a bunch of them in their stack, and we're playing big and in huge pots. And then, you know, 10 years later, you see them playing, you know, 5-10 or 2-5, or in this case, 2-3. And it's just, that's kind of the rule. If variance doesn't get you, you know, people who are good at poker usually suck at managing their money. There are exceptions, of course, but that's the rule. Yeah, and I don't like to see it, right? And this guy and I, we didn't, you know, we battled a lot. He just was kind of the guy that flopped a lot of sets but could only stack off with a set. And I've always, or I've long been the kind of person to just go after those people and hands. And you know, he wasn't good for the game or anything, but he had a really dark moment at Commerce, which I guess I'm not going to say. I'm not going to relay, but it just, you know, gave me a bunch of, it provided a bunch of sympathy for him, right? And he's just, you know, another person, right? Another imperfect being, a product of all the stuff we're products of, DNA, temperament, and life experiences. And it was dark, and I was there, and I was supportive in that moment. And it's just weird. Yeah, you know, I just got back from the bar. I told the dealer I didn't think I missed the blind one. Obviously, I missed like 11 blinds, or not that many, but you know what I mean. And then, you know, I had a nice buzz, and I look over and I see him, and it's kind of sobering. Okay, and then I flop a set because I've been reincarnated as a new pro. Right, I flop sets now. I didn't for a long time. I do again, and I get even because Nirvana pays me off with third pair, and it's the wettest board, and it completes, right? Everything gets there, but he pays me off because I polarized, right? I bet a lot, which could only be something really good, which should have been a straight or a flush, but it was a set, and I didn't think he had those, so I wasn't worried about it. And, you know, he realized, like, a lot of the hands that beat him, I don't have due to my sizing. And that's true. I didn't have, like, one pair or whatever. But he got me even. He showed his hand. And he just, I had a set of sevens and he had a seven. And it was like, it was like 6-7, 6-7, 9, like Jack 8 or something, and the flush got there, and he just couldn't fold to me. I'd been, you know, stealing from him all night, and they just finally got sick of it. And there are little things you can do when you're a vet, right, that you know that are going to get calls, and there's things you can do to get folds, and who knows if I just got lucky timing or what. But now I'm even, and I like being even better than being stuck. And now people limp. It's 2-5-10. You come back from the bar, you can demand 2-5-10. And this guy was pretty cool, recreational player. He plays fine, sneaky, fine, you know, whatever. He's a sharp dude, right, in real life. He posts and he puts in five more, and I got a 50 with pocket kings out of position, and just this guy calls, right, and he's played with me a bunch, and it comes ace, ace, king, so I flip a boat, and I check. I don't think he has much, right, and so I'm just going to check here, and he'll bluff, and he bets small, and I give him, you know, I don't think he's ever going to put another dollar in. So I give him a little speech, a little just got back from the bar speech, and, you know, just something dumb. And I call. The turn's an X, and I check again, and he bets a little bigger, right? And I know he doesn't have anything. And I start giving him a speech again and, like, you know, talking to him. This is fine. It's part of the game. And he just had a child, and he says, you're going to try and take my diaper money. But when he says it, he stutters a little bit, which people do when they're bluffing. And so I know he just has nothing, and I call again, right? It's ace, ace, king, X. The river's a jack, and now I don't think he's putting any more money in at all. But now I do a preemptive speech, just real fast. It's not too annoying or too, I'm not slowing down the game. And just, I want to sell weakness. And I check again, and he forceful bets. And I look at him, and I you know, say something dumb, and I min raise him, and he snap folds. So I just had the hand read correctly, and I told him I had queen 10. So I didn't want him to think I bluffed. I wanted him to think I got lucky. And, you know, I just, you know, it was nice. And then I started stealing. I'm just stealing $150 to $200 at a time. And you can do that when stacks get deep and the straddle's on, because a bunch goes in pre, and people are pretty loose pre and pretty tight, you know, on the turn for sure. And yeah, so I'm running good now, and I'm playing good. And I wrote, it's sad. So I was just also buzzed, obviously. And then the next note is not so positive. I got cold decked by Tall Marley. Who's Tall Marley? There's a woman in the other 2-5 game, and where Hunter the punter was at, and I guess someone came up to her and asked her if it was Marley and wanted like an autograph or something. And it was pretty funny. But this woman, I don't know if she looked like her that much, but she was really tall. So call her Tall Marley, and she table changed to our table. She probably saw me as a target. I don't know. But now she cold decks me, and that's fine. And then she opens, but she did the look down and open. And there's one thing about being tired and buzzed and all that is you don't have time. All you're doing is focusing on the game, right? And you just see when she just looks at her cards and opens real quick, that's rarely like a pair. It just is. It's good cards, right? And so I call with 8-4 offsuit in position. I don't know. Flop comes 9-7-7. And she checks, and she's going to check call. But I give her a little speech, and I bet way more than the pot, and she's never going to call. She folds. It's very basic. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know. When I run bad, I get away from this. And that's a mistake. But also, you don't have the same something, the same like credibility. If people see you turn over a good hand once in a while, you can do this, right? Like, why do you call with 8-4 offsuit? It's a shitty hand. Because I know she doesn't have a pair, and she doesn't flop one, and sometimes there's gonna be flops like this where she, of course she doesn't, then you're just gonna win. And yeah, and of course I could flop something with 8-4, and you know, whatever. So dealer in the box is young. I like this guy a lot. I was I asked him if he wanted to, like, that was the when I was recently saying I'm going to be a poker pro and laughing after I got overserved one night. And I was like, you're going to stake me, right? And he was like, of course. And he probably thinks I'm horrible at poker, but I was enjoying this guy's in the box and I don't know his name. That's the story. Okay. Now I open ace 10 and tall Marley calls out of position. And I have been bluffing her pretty relentlessly. I don't take notes on every hand. And I'm not one of those people that spazzes out against women. I don't. I just spazz out against anyone I think can't call. And that's what's been going on. It's just been her. Before it was Nirvana. And yeah. And she actually took Nirvana's seat. So it's just that seat. I think seat 3. I'm just, you know. Anyways, I open with ace 10 and she defends. The flop comes 8-5-4. She checks. I check. I just, you know, you gotta be chill sometimes. The turn's a deuce, giving me a wheel draw. She checks. I bet very small. I bet 25. I had opened to 30. Because I figure I have the best hand and I have a draw. And it's just, I just want to charge her if she wants to call with overcards. Well, she check raises to 100. 8-5-4, deuce. She check raises. This is different from when that Nirvana check raised me on the river. This is just different. This something seems off about this. And anyways, I have a gut shot and at least one overcard if I'm wrong. I call. And the river is a queen, so I break. It's 8-5-4. I open ace 10 to $30. Tall Marley calls out of the blind or the straddle. Not sure which one. And it comes 8-5-4, and I check back my ace 10. I've been going, you just can't keep your foot down all the time. And this is a fine flop to check back, right? And it's okay. I don't always, but, you know, game flow usually dictates what I do. And, yeah, check. Now the turn's a deuce. Gives me a wheel draw, obviously. And she checks, and I think I have the best hand. So I'm just going to bet small to charge her. Like, she can bink, you know, her cards. And she goes to 100. And I think maybe it's just her time that I've just bluffed her too many times in a row. It's just like it was Nirvana's time to pay me off with a really bad hand. I think it might be her time to bluff. And plus, if I'm wrong, I got a gut shot and overcard. River's a queen. Doesn't do anything for my hand. And if she bets, you know, like 200 or more, I'm going to call pretty quick because I just thought it was her time, right? Well, she bets 100, which is, looks very like she's trying to milk me, right? Like she's just going for value. But something seems off about it. And I just flip in the 100 bucks and she had king 10 offsuit. So I went with ace high there. And yeah, it's a pretty good hand, I guess. And it's not as good as my best play, which you're going to hear about very soon. And you may disagree with me. And then I'm card dead for a while. And then I finally open 9-7 offsuit. Just because I haven't played a hand in forever and it's bad for the game to never play a hand. And tall Marley 3-bets me. I think she's got it. And I fold. And she says something. I think she had aces. And she seems very chill. She kind of reminds me of normal height Marley. And anyways, it's time for my best play. And you might disagree. And it's okay. Let me take a sip of Zevia, though, and then tell you about it. So I am the 10. It's 2-5-10. I am the guy with $10 out there. And I have 7-6 offsuit. Okay, and, you know, everyone and their mother limps. No, maybe 4 or 5 people limp. And I just check. Right, this is not a hand I want to squeeze with. And the flop comes 8-5-3, rainbow. All right, I flop open-ended here. And I check, and it checks to, if you remember the guy wearing camouflage that I played with a few sessions back, who rivered me a couple times, got very lucky. Buddy wears camouflage and still, you know, wearing a mask and all that. He's like the cutoff, and he had limped after other people limped, and he bets here on 8-5-3, and it folds back to me, someone calls, and I check raise with my open-ender, because what, I was a straddle, this flop is, you know, I got all the two pairs, and he calls quickly, right, and the other person folds. Okay, so his quick call, what does he have when he bets the flop on 8-5-3 rainbow, and calls my check raise quickly. Well, I would say for value hands, he has ace eight or better, or he has a draw. Like he has same hand as me, 7-6, but there's also other open-enders. There's 4-6, there's deuce 4. Yes, he'd be in there with those suited for sure. That's Ocean's 11, that's everywhere, right? And he also could even have like ace 4 of something with a backdoor. He knows how to play poker. He knows, you know, the backdoor shit. And so that's fine. He called quick. I could bink, right? Or I could get a card where I don't think he can call. And the turn is a jack and it's Badoogie. So a lot of times in the situation, if it's there's two hearts and now you bomb again and the person picked up hearts, it's so confusing. Well, there's no chance he picked up hearts, right? And there's no chance he had 9-10, right? So I bet a lot on Jack Badoogie. 8-5-3 Jack. I have 7-6. I check raise the flop. He bet. Someone called. I check raise. He called. He wears camouflage shit. I asked him to play heads up earlier in the night, not like in a mean way, just in a when I got back from the bar way, and he declined. Anyways, he called quickly on the flop check raise, and then on a jack turn, I bet a lot. And I'm repping two pair very, very, very hard here, right? And everyone thinks I have two pair. I know that, right? I just know it. But he snap calls on the jack, right? He calls like pretty quick. And so what's his range now? 8-5-3 Jack. It's hard to get reads off him. He's all camouflage, mask, and sunglasses, and it's just harder to get a read off this guy. And so you have to go more traditional range shit. Well, now at this point, he can have all the open-enders, which I have the nut open-ended with 7-6 on 8-5-3. He can't have 10-9, but he can have 7-6, 4 deuce, 6-4. I guess he could have like something slow-played like aces or something where he's hoping I squeezed pre-flop. But the river is a queen. So it's 8-5-3 jack queen. And I bricked. I missed. I have 7 high. But I don't think I'm not bluffing here because there's nothing for me to bluff, right? He either has something that he's not gonna fold, right? Like maybe he has aces or something. Or he has other draws and I'm gonna win a nice pot with 7 high. Well, he snap goes all in. Whoa. And is this guy type to go all in with one pair? No. Would he go all in with two pair? No. And he could have two pair that he flopped, but he would just check here, right? Or he would think before he just snap went all in. So it's 8-5-3. I'm just gonna rewind this one. I'm the 10. It's 2-5-10 game. And people limp and he limps cut off and it comes 8-5-3 and we check and he bets. And someone calls and I check raise with 7-6 because that flop is great for the guy who has any two cards, literally because he was the straddle. He didn't have to put a chip in, right? And he calls quickly and the other person folds. Turn is a jack Badoogie, a good card because you don't want it to pick up you don't want it to be two-tone now, or you don't want it to be, you don't want a flush draw out there. And there isn't. So it's a good card to barrel on, and I do. Big, and he calls quickly. So he might have an overpair. But it looks like I have two pair, right? But he's still going to call, hopefully counterfeit me, whatever. Hopefully I check, whatever. And the other hands he has, I actually beat. I tie one of them, 7-6, and I beat deuce 4 and 4-6, right? And the river's a queen. I check, and he goes all in for $700. And he's not repping anything. Like, he's just not. If you just hand read this hand, he's not repping anything. Like, what do I lose to? I don't lose to any. He doesn't have one pair, and he doesn't have two pair. And he didn't slow play a set. So I find the call with 7 high for $700, and he had pocket queens. He rivered top set. So I didn't show my hand that I called $700 with 7 high, but the reason why it's my best play is because this is how you play poker. If you have reads, those are superpowers. Well, if someone is, you know, all in wearing camouflage and sunglasses and shit. And he's across the table. You don't pick up anything on his energy. It's different, right? And there's plexiglass and whatnot. You got to just play, you know, what his tendencies are and all that. And so I read the hand perfectly. He just had the one miracle hand. And he rivered top set. And he rivered a set of queens when I had two pair, similar spot to this, a few sessions back. And I folded because it made sense to me that he rivered. But this one, he just had those other, I could have won with seven high. I didn't. And yeah, so I called $700 with seven high. And he had top set. And it made me quiet, right? Because it's just a lot of money for me to lose at this stage of my comeback career, whatever you want to call it. But and then you question, but no, I'm fine with it. I like it when I go with, if I just always go with what I think, it's gonna serve me very well. I don't know. And then I flop two pair and I lose to this one guy. Like, he's kind of bipolar, not like his behavior, but he'll play super tight and then I'll spaz out. Well, he turned a gut shot, so I lost. So things are going poorly. Remember, it was sad because I was running good and playing good. And then I got coolered by Tall Marley. And then I just paid off this guy a ton with seven high. And then I flopped two pair and the guy turns a gut shot. Some guy you're going to lose money to. And then I open a ace five of diamonds and the same guy three bets me out of position. And I just call. I'm not going to four bet here. We're not deep enough. It doesn't. Game flow is horrible for it. I'm starting to lose now. And DJ, tell him what I flopped with ace five of diamonds in this three bet pot in position. Thank you. And for those of you who don't know, that's DJ Melo D. He's been helping me out while my friend Cinny has been on the run. And Cinny has been in contact with us via text message, and she said she is coming back, and we appreciate DJ Melody filling in for her while she's been gone. Check him out on Twitter, DJ Melody. He's got a lot of cool shit that he's music that he's made on there. And so my friend Cinny, she said she's only coming back when 10 more of her designs sell on Poker Rags. So that's the Nothing design. It's under DGAF on Poker Rags. I don't know. I know she's listening. So she's not being high maintenance at all. But she has a few demands. And that's okay. And yeah. So 10 more people buy 10 more things with her face on it. It says Nothing. She's going to come back and be part of the team again. And we do appreciate DJ Melody for filling in for her. And now I put the 20 on, okay? Because I had the floor to make it officially a 2-5-10. I don't want any late-night rats coming in and ruining our... Everyone's straddling now. This is every single session of my life. Start off, it's regular two blinds. We're going to change that, you know? And going to the bar and coming back helps. And people who... Untrained eyes, which most people are in the poker... They don't understand that I'm good at poker, right? I'm not talking like I'm good. I don't look like I'm good. And, you know, I'm playing unorthodox if in their eyes. Who knows? But I put the 20 on. So now that's the straddle is 20. And everyone folds. And I have some speeches for the, you know, the guy that plays bipolar who C-changed to get position on me and camouflage who rivered a set. He, you know, he could have lost the pot in other ways. But that he rivered a set is really lucky. And that was, you know, otherwise he just checks. Because that hand where I had seven high, I knew everyone thought I had two pair. And I said to the triathlete pro, I said, you won't believe what I called him with. And this other guy says, you had two pair. You had two pair. I know you had two pair, right? And that's what it looked like. No, I had seven high. But you put the 20 on there, and these people that are winning all this money, running good against you, just fold. They're gonna catch a couple speeches from me. Yeah, it's okay. Now it's just I'm the 10, the very next hand, and they all limp. I go to 70 with ace jack offsuit. It's a good enough hand to do that. Sure, some people could be trapping me. I don't care. $70, and the bipolar seat changer calls me. And he's not bipolar, and that's, you know, I don't mean to use that in a bad way. He just plays either super tight or kind of fucking crazy. And flop comes ace 7-3 with two spades. I have ace jack offsuit, no spades, and I bet 80. It's just him and I, and I made it 70 preflop. I bet 80 here. I know my image right now. I know the dynamics. Other times I would take a different line or a different sizing, but I'm going to just keep firing away here. This guy has heart. I know that. And he calls the 80, right? He's going to call with a lot of things. And the turn's an ace. That's great. And now I forceful bet 220. I have three aces. Forceful bet. And he raises me to like 700 and something. Okay. And I have $990 total. I'm stuck. I go all in. And he calls me. And the river is a brick. And my hand's good. And now he's tilting. And now I'm about even again or winning a little bit. And I am winning. And he's tilting hard. And someone opens a 35. It's 2-5-10. And we all call. I call on the button with king seven of hearts. And he goes to 135. And they all fold. And I put an extra 100 in there in position. And again, because, you know, just if you don't mind, tell them what I flopped in this spot. Thanks. What? Yeah, you can have the last beer. Sure. So this guy, the bipolar, I don't know if that's even, I should be using that. I don't mean to make light of bipolar disorder, but he's playing. Now he's in his maniacal stage. And you just want to make a hand against him, you're going to get all his chips. He has a lot because he already put a bad beat on Tall Marley, is what I'm told by Tall Marley. And so he has a lot of chips still, even though he punted off to me when I had ace jack. And I want to get him, but I don't. I do make a straight, but it's against Chili Dog, a member of DGAF community. And I win a little bit of money from him. And normally I hate winning money from patrons, but this guy made me do a shot of Fireball up in the bar, so he deserves it. No, but I did make a straight. And it was just a little pot, but, you know, a few hundred dollars. And then I had a weak recreational player opens, and I'm in the small blind with Queen Jack, and I'd be inclined to 3-bet, but I really wanted to keep the tilter, and he's in the straddle. I just want to keep him involved because he's likely to dust at any moment. And I have Queen Jack, and he calls, so it is three ways, and it comes King 10 X, and we all check. And then there's an X, and I bet. I have Queen Jack, and they both call. And I figure, you know, one probably has a draw, one has a bluff catcher, and the river's an X, and I overbet, which is just going to work here. I just showed three aces not too long ago, and now it looks like it's not a forceful overbet. It's one of those ones you see all the pros do when they just bink something huge. Well, I didn't. I missed my open ender, and the tilty player who I was saying plays bipolar, he had king six, and he rivered kings up. What are you gonna do? And then session got a little bit blurry. I didn't need that shot of Fireball, but someone says you want to take a shot. It's hard to say no. And then, but I was right about the tilting player. He limped and Tall Marley raised like $40 or whatever. And it got back to him and he just went all in for like $1,100. And she called, she had either kings or queens and he just had ace jack and he binked and he got her. And then the game started winding down because he just limped. And then re-raised all in from like 40 or whatever to 1100 and got it in bad and got there. And then now he's going to go back into tight mode and the game's winding down. And I'm really tired at this point. It's like 5 a.m. So I just decide I gotta call it a session. And I think I played 5 hours total, you know, including trips to the bar. And I won about a life and a half. And it was a pretty swingy session and I have lots of those. And You might not agree with my best play, but it's okay. The one thing I didn't factor in, I mean, I did factor in, but I might not be assigning enough weight to, is that people just don't have enough heart to go all in as with bluffs, right? But he could have. I don't know this guy well enough. I don't know. So why don't you walk with me? We'll cash out, and then we'll quickly, because this one took a while, we'll just quickly check the STP scoreboard on my giant phone in the parking lot before I get in my trusty old Lexus and head back to my granny flat. Okay, so come with me to cash out. Okay, here you go. Thank you, cashier. This is for you. Yep, somehow won tonight. I was really tired when I got here, and I drank quite a bit, but it's poker. Okay, now walk with me out to my car. And this parking lot's a little sketch. Well, I hear it is. And, you know, someone put a gun to someone's head the other night, and that's why I need all of you to protect me from that, if you don't mind. Okay. And here, I'll pull up my phone. The first line, so I just go to Nevada Gaming Commission, NGC.com, and, you know, when I'm not at a casino with a sports book, that's what I do, and I check the scores, and here we go. First line says hours, 246 of 240. Yeah, makes sense. We had 235 hours after week 23, which was called imperfect, and I played 11 more in week 24, which is called imperfect 2. All right, I played 5 hours in the session you just heard about at Ocean's 11, a very swingy one that started at 2-5 and became 2-5-10, sometimes 2-5-10-20, right? And then I played 6 hours in the first session I played this week, where I played 5-10 at the Venetian, which was 5-10-20 a while. And then one hand, we all just put in 300 and ran it. And if you want to hear about that session at the Venetian, and, you know, really, if you want to hear all 700 or so drops of sessions whenever you want, you can do that by getting your own RSS feed at patreon.com / DGAF poker player for $4.22 a month or more. And it's just very easy. You just go to Patreon, and click on my page, and sign up is easy. And hooking up the RSS feed, it's easy. It may sound daunting to some of you. Very easy. And then if you want to join the community, also easy. And you can do it at whatever extent you wish. All right. We got to get out of here. It's the sun's coming up. We got to go. Okay. The second line under STP on my phone here, it says Poker Rags 575 of 442. So this line's been leading the way for months. It was behind pace for a while, and it's really taken off. And that speaks to having a crew behind me, and it speaks to how supportive the patrons are, because they're the ones primarily buying the stuff. And let's hear who scored points for us in week 24, who the MVP was, and who got Employee of the Week. All right, so No in San Diego, California got 2 points. Put 2 points on the board. Thank you, No. Eric in Columbus, Ohio, 2 points. Thank you very much, Eric. Dr. David Neymark, who's been in this podcast, a guest on this podcast, a ton, in San Diego, California, 2 points. Thank you, David. Party Rye in Las Vegas, Nevada, another patron, 2 points. Thank you, Party Rye. Be seeing you soon. Average Size Robert, who's been a recent MVP in Seminole, Florida, got 4 points. That's a big order. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Average Size Robert. Hope you're doing well, man. And then Kip from Chi-Town, that's Chicago, got us 4 points, or she put up 4 points and got some women's, there's 3 stars next to it, it says women's clothing. So yeah, we sell women's clothing now, and that's good. It was overdue, and thank you, Kip. And now it's time for your week 24 MVP. Your week 24 MVP from Dirty Jersey America is none other than Jody fucking Savage with 6 points. Thank you very much, Jody. Congratulations on being the most valuable purchaser of week 24. And if you add up all those points, that's 22 points total for the week, which is a little ahead of the weekly pace. Okay, and then on my phone it says Employee of the Week is Jody. And it says, took matters into her own hands. And she really did. She's a part owner. And she said, we need some sales. So I'm just going to order some shit. And I don't want the owners doing that like as a habit. But it just shows where her heart is in this. This company, PokerAgs, is ready to blow up. Just everyone that's working on it just needs to focus on the things they're working on and follow through on them, and it's gonna happen. Everything's in place. All the blood, sweat, and tears have, you know, that you need to build a profitable company. I already did that, right? And now I got, like, you know, smart, and I got good people in place. And anyways, that makes sense that Nevada Gaming Commission gave Jody Employee of the Week. Took matters into her own hands. You know, you just got to make things happen in life. And you know, she did. And thanks to everyone who put points on the board this week. And it's, you know, you're getting very comfortable stuff and you're contributing to the scoreboard. You're putting up numbers. And if we get enough points, there's going to be a fifth season of Sessions next year. And it will be a climactic one, I believe, where it'll just be poker sessions and it'll be bigger. It'll be high stakes. And anyways, all of you who have put points on the board are literally part of the story. And if you listening would also like to become part of the story by putting points on the board to hopefully keep this podcast going and see if it gets really good, the story, and or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the planet. Shit is very comfortable, very high quality. And the designs are cool. They send the right message. They build good games and they make people smile and they get you laid. Guaranteed. Money back guarantee. You buy a straddle shirt, you'll get laid. No, just I can't guarantee that actually. Anyways, head over to pokeragz.us and just start clicking. You deserve it. And anything you get from Sessions is worth 2 points. And remember, Cindy, I don't, you know, she'll come back to the team once there's 10 more nothing designs ordered. Okay, that's cool. All right, let's see here. The third score under STP says results 66 of 49. So crushing this line item as well. Won both Sessions this week, and that puts us at 35 wins and 13 losses on the year. And ever since that one Patron quit and said, I want to hear about this guy winning, not losing, I just decided to win. And I've been winning. Okay. The fourth score under STP says Patron's 192 of 240. Ugh. So that's not good. And this one's obviously very important to me. This is my salary. I don't do ads because even though I say a lot of dumb shit often, probably more often than any other podcaster, or I don't know, I don't listen to enough to know, but I do, but I think I usually captivate the listener, right? And you forget about your shit, and that's all I want to do. And what am I even talking about right now? Oh, so once I pull you in, I don't want to bring you back to your own grind by doing some ads, right? PokerAgs is part of the story. It's my startup, so I don't mind it. But you know, that's how I monetize this podcast, is I just have people sign up. And it used to be just sign up if you want to be communal. And now it's do that, but also you get a ton of perks. You get all this content and you get membership to an amazing community and all that. So this one hurts. 192 of 240, it's not good. But let's see what happened in week 24. C-Rel signed up. Thank you, C-Rel. And that is 4 points. Okay. And then Smells was at 50.99, which is incredibly generous. And she adjusted that to 4.22. That's my ask, and that's okay. That's what I believe is fair if people like this podcast. No, she adjusted it to $105.27, which is pretty insane. And there are a lot of lunatic patrons now that are over $100 a month. And I wish I was in a position to cap it, but I'm not. So I can't argue with you people. You incredibly generous people. And I know sometimes I dig deep in this podcast, usually in the Patron only drops, and I get very personal and very, what's the word? Intimate, that's not the word I'm looking for, vulnerable, whatever it is, imperfect, and it makes people feel better, right? And then they're sickos and they over-reciprocate, right? Like Smells did here, and then I have nothing else to give them back except to dig even deeper and then deliver even more fire the next week. Just, you know, unflattering shit, human shit, imperfect shit, shit that some people say, fuck yeah, too. Thank you very much, Smells. And then Zimsaw was at $16.88 a month, four times the ask, and went to $27 a month. So a good week for the salary, even though we only got one new patron. And thank you, all three of you. And so that's 4 points, and they came from CRL signing up and no one quitting. Yeah, and so now let's check the score. And then let's get the fuck out of here because sun's coming up. I'm very tired, and I'm sure all of you are too. All right, so the score, the fifth and final one under STP, which stands for Save the Princess. It's a consolidation of the four scores that we just talked about, and it's called Countdown to 2022 because if we score 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, that's the cutoff. Sessions lives on in the year 2022. And this one says, what does it say? It's hard to see on my phone right now. Okay. It says 1080 of 971. So we are over 100 points above, ahead of pace to keep this podcast alive for another year. And we're 48% of the way through the journey because this is week 24 of 50. I believe that's the correct math. And that's good. I just need to get more patrons and I got to figure out how. I need to brainstorm that. I don't know how, but I got to figure it out. I need to be strategic. Anyways, before we say our goodbyes, I want to give a special thanks to everyone who has put points on this board, right? In this Make or Break Season 4. And all the patrons, of course, for their continued support. You all are something. And I'll see all of you on Monday with another drop. And I'll see the rest of you on Thursday. And, oh yeah, whether you are a patron or not. Whether you listen to sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. They talk about sex on there. Check it out. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life? I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise,